Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. When you think about it, it's actually so true that either the sins that we commit or the sins against us, sins done by us or sins committed against us, no matter what, they leave a mark on our soul. But the great news is this: God's grace can heal every ounce of pain, every remnant of our past. And when our wounds are from a sexual abuse or promiscuity of some kind, that damage runs deeper than we realize. And even in that place, God can bring healing. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how God steps into our lives where we need healing the most. I mentioned this first hour, this conversation may not be suitable for young ears. So if you've got young ones listening, maybe get them busy doing something else. So excited and honored to welcome my friends back to the show, Linda Dillo and Dr. Julie Slattery. They've got a beautiful new book out titled Surprised by the Healer, Embracing Hope for Your Broken Story. I also said this at the top of the hour before, that this, you know, conversation in some ways is directed towards women, but I know we have as many men listening as women. And men, you are impacted by the wounds in our hearts. You just are. So this conversation really is for you as well. And if you care about the women in your life, I pray that you'll stay tuned and listen. And I want you even to feel free at any time to ask questions. If you're more comfortable calling anonymously, please feel free to do that. If you're a little nervous about getting on the air, give Grace your questions. She'll pass it on to us. But I want to make this kind of a free zone where you can have a conversation openly, get your questions answered today. I can't think of two better experts, God-fearing, gentle, humble, amazing women who know what they're talking about. You want to talk with these gals today, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Please excuse my voice. I'm battling a bit of a cold. You can also email your questions, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Julie Slattery has been married for two decades, is a clinical psychologist, author, and mom. Linda Dillo is a wife of five decades. She doesn't seem that old. Mother, grandma, and best-selling author. Both Julie and Linda are co-founders of Authentic Intimacy and are passionate to see Christian women find healing in Christ. They both have influencer pages up on our website at myfaithradio.com. I'll say hi to you guys one at a time so you don't have to smack into each other. Dr. Julie, welcome.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Susie. It's just always a pleasure.
I miss you so much. This is like the only time, only way we get to talk anymore. So
I know. I have to keep writing books so I can
exactly
have a conversation with you.
It's really sad, but it's kind of good, too. Okay. Linda, welcome, dear.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you, Susie.
I always, always love talking with you both. So we love to open the show talking scripture. And Julie, I'll direct this to you first. I see this big passage in front of me, especially given my voice. I would rather not be the one to read it. But and maybe you have a different verse, but I'm just asking you to come with a verse or a passage that's been speaking to you these days. What about you, Julie?
Well, I was just thinking about that, and I know the passage that I put before you is one that has been special to me over the last 5 years or so with starting the Ministry of Authentic Intimacy, and it's particularly relatable to the topic we're talking about, and that's Isaiah 61. And it's one of those verses that you're like, oh, I remember hearing that, but this passage really is something that has been foundational for, again, what we've been doing. But the verse, the passage says, particularly in verses 1 through 3, hang on, I'm just getting it in my Bible here.
I put you on the spot. Sorry about that.
No, you did. I could give you a paraphrase.
I've got it right here if you want me to read it.
You do. All right, read it, Linda. You're up.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Nothing like listening to a godly woman read the Word of God. So, Linda, let's start with you and have you speak to that verse, and then Julie, I'll have you next.
I love this, Susie, because I see an exchange here. I see the Lord saying, you give me your ashes, and I'll give you a garland. You give me your mourning, and I'm going to give you gladness. You give me your spirit of fainting, and I'm going to give you a mantle of praise. And I know, Susie, that you have known, and Julie and I have known, and we felt it ourselves at times, a spirit of fainting. And the Lord says he wants to exchange that for a mantle of praise. And he wants freedom for all the prisoners. He wants liberty for the captives. And in this passage, he's talking about coming out of relational bondage and sexual bondage. And that excites me.
Mm. Julie, I'd love for you to speak to it, but then also just tie on to that, just how you both sense the call to address this issue of need in the body of Christ.
Yeah, Susie, this is one of the most beautiful and practical scriptures, and we see in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus read this in the temple at the beginning of his public ministry and essentially said, this is why I've come. I'm the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah. And the reason that we love it so much is because it says very clearly that the healer, Jesus Christ, walked on this earth 2,000 years ago, but he's still alive today, and he is still bringing healing to men and women. And when we talk about healing, we're not just referring to things like he cures cancer. What Jesus really came to do is to redeem our lives and our stories and to bring healing into our hearts and souls. And so, Susie, the Lord put on our hearts probably a good 2 or 3 years ago the idea of this particular book. And Linda and I teach a lot about sexual intimacy, about intimacy with God, about marriage, just about some of those sensitive issues. And we felt like when we go to conferences and we speak, there's a place on our table for this book because we're constantly meeting women who have deep wounds and who so long for the healing that Jesus can bring. And then we meet other women who have these great testimonies of just how God has surprised them with healing. So this has been long in the works, and we're just excited to get it into the hands of men and women.
You know, Linda, it's so easy for us to think about, you know, that God can heal the minor offenses that we've done or that have been done to us. But when you hear stories like some of those that you included in Surprised by the Healer, there's like a place in our brain that we almost compartmentalize, but not that. There is
right.
No way God can heal that. And someone listening today may feel that way. Like, my wife's been too damaged or I've been too damaged. Speak to the idea that there's no wound so deep that God's love isn't deeper still.
I think, Susie, that one of the enemy's greatest lies, and we know that he lies because Scripture says he's the father of all lies. He can't speak the truth. He can only lie. And he lies and says, Christ might heal some areas of your life, but your sexual woundedness, oh, he can't heal you there. Relational wounding, he can't heal you there. And this is just a lie from the pit. No matter how deep the woundedness, if it's been inflicted by someone else, if it's the result of our wrong choices, God's name is Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer, and there is nothing too difficult for him to heal.
So good, Linda. You know, Julie, my next book comes out in August, but I was kind of giving the analogy of sleeping on this king-size bed once I got married, but curled up in the corner, like fear pulled me to the corner. So I had the whole king-size bed, but I only took a corner of it. And I feel like that's such a visual, Julie, for how many women approach the intimate part of their relationship in marriage. I would love for you to know, just from your research, what would you guess the stats would be of Christian women who are only on the corner? Do you know what I'm saying? They're only enjoying a portion of what God has made available in the context of marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we can look at the stats that we know about, things like sexual abuse, and probably a third or more of American women having experienced sexual trauma in childhood. We can look at stats of how many marriages have a pornography issue or a betrayal. But, Susie, I think anecdotally, as Linda and I have had the opportunity to speak with so many different women, just thousands of women, not only in the United States but around the world, we found that it's very rare for a man and a woman in marriage to both feel the healthy freedom that God gives in sexuality. And so often there's some sort of distortion there, whether, like you said, it's because of fear or it's because of, you know, other things that are involved in the marriage, like pornography. So, again, I would say that we would probably estimate that maybe only 5 to 10% of married women would truly say, I understand this gift God has given, and I'm freely enjoying it.
Hmm. Linda, when you think of that, 5 to 10%, so 90%, 95% of marriages are not enjoying the fullness of what God gifted them. What's the ripple effect, not only to the marriage, but to the children, to the body of Christ as a whole? And I know someone might think this is crazy. Really, their sex life's going to, you know, impact the community. But I really do believe that if you're only living on morsels, there is a ripple effect, because people start to drink from broken cisterns. What say you?
I agree with you totally that there's a huge ripple effect. And you may never say a word to your children, but they know. They know if mommy and daddy aren't enjoying a deep love relationship. And God just so desires that we delight in a passionate, intoxicating, pleasurable sexual intimacy together. And so many women, even women who, Susie, who have grown up in Christian homes and maybe aren't scarred by wrong choices or by something that someone has done against them, they just have heard, no, don't do this, wait until marriage, so long that they don't know how to change that when they get married, and they don't know what God's perspective is biblically. So I hear Christian women say, well, I know that I'm supposed to have sexual intimacy, but as a Christian, you know, I shouldn't be too into this, but that's not what I see in my Bible.
That might be new news to some of you today, right? Talking to Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo, title of the book, Surprised by the Healer, Embracing Hope for Your Broken Story. We've got, let's see, 5 copies. Wow, I'm so glad. 5 copies to get into your hands. Tom called in, said, great topic. He says, I think it's important to remember that behind every healed woman needs to be a husband who is faithful in prayer over her. What a man, Tom. Thank you for that. Give us a call. You can remain anonymous if you need to. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Maybe you've experienced healing. We'd sure love to hear about that as well. Susie@myfaithradio.com. One listener wrote in. She said, you just read my life verse. Go God. Was betrayed so much in this area that I have trouble trusting again. Prevalent. That's why we're talking about it today. More with Linda Dillo and Julie Slattery when we return.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You know what? I think far too often, I think my guest today would agree with me, that many marriages live with a low level of misery. And so often behind that is trouble and intimacy. And so often behind that is a wife who's either been abused, been promiscuous, or as Linda said before the break, just taught that sex is bad until you get married. And then somehow she's supposed to switch that light on, you know, once she gets married. But also on the other side of that is often porn addiction. And this is what Linda Dillo and Dr. Julie Slattery write in their amazing book, Surprised by the Healer. They write, sexuality is a powerful force. It draws us into relationships, compels us to risk being vulnerable, and is a key component of our identities as men and women. Within marriage, sexual intimacy is the most sacred experience two people can share. However, sexuality can also be a devastating force for harm. There is no betrayal like an intimate betrayal. No shame as deep as sexual shame. And no sin that seems to stick to us like sexual sin. Tragically, many, many Christians believe we are doomed to lose the battle of sexuality. They reason that some wounds are just too deep. Some people, just too broken. We want to declare that this is a bold-faced lie from the enemy. There's nothing too broken for God to heal. Amen and amen. Julie, let's start, if you don't mind, by talking some of these stories that you share. I couldn't put the book down, and yet I had to get in here to do the show because the stories were so compelling. Start with Marianne's story. Do you remember her story?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Marianne is a pastor's wife, and she would really relate to how you even opened up the show, Susie, by saying that I only lived on a small sliver of our king-size bed. And even though she and her husband loved the Lord, Marian had a lot in her past before she came to Christ. She was promiscuous, she said. You know, I just pretty much had a very immoral lifestyle relating to sexuality. And along the way, just experienced a lot of wounds from boys and men that she would sleep with, and a lot of lies implanted about her worth. And even though a lot of things changed when she came to Christ, she still held on to a lot of those lies and beliefs about sexuality. And that played out into her marriage to the point where she just really didn't want physical intimacy with her husband and was confused about sexuality until God started just to do a real healing work in her life, starting by even revealing some of these lies that she was believing that was keeping her so distant from her husband.
And what's so amazing about her story, if I remember right, because I read almost the whole book in one sitting, so forgive me if I'm mixing my stories up, but if I remember right, didn't she go to a writer's conference, and her hubby didn't want her to go because he was afraid she would find someone, because he could tell that she had a wandering heart and mind, but she met somebody who was writing a novel about a pastor's wife who happened to be kind of like a gomer, you know, someone who was wandering, right?
Exactly right, and that was really at that writer's conference, that was the key turning point in her life where God just really held up a mirror in front of her and, you know, confronted her with her sin and with her fear and with the lies that she was believing and invited her to trust him as healer. And then Marian started a journey of just that inward healing, and it eventually spilled out over into her marriage to the point where her marriage could experience the healing and the intimacy that she had longed for.
It just goes to show you that God is pursuing us, because she just meets a fellow writer, and the writer happens to be writing a novel that's pretty much her life story, and it starts to crack open for her and realize, this actually is my story, which means there is healing for me. We're going to take a call, anonymous call, checking in from Dyke, Iowa. Hey there, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling to just kind of tell my story.
Yeah.
Healing, and it's not 100% yet, but we're working on it. I was abused as a child by a family member. And I really just, I had to live with that family member. I had to go to all the gatherings, and I hated him. And God did something amazing. When I was in the hospital for a surgery, that's where I met Jesus. And he showed the doctors what they needed to see. And after I woke up, all that bitterness and anger towards his family member was just gone.
Wow.
It was gone. And I had never, I mean, I went home and it was like heaven on earth. I'm not saying it stayed that way for very long, but I know now that he does heal this stuff, and there is still stuff in our marriage that we're working on, but there's progress being made.
You are so brave. Let me ask you this, friend. What do you feel like you need from God now? If you could just say what you need from him, what do you need?
I suppose freedom for intimacy with my husband, because it's not there yet.
Yeah. So painful. So, Linda, I just want to give you a heads up here. We've got about 2.5 minutes before we have a hard break, Linda. But I would love for you just to speak to her, pray for her, whatever it is the Lord's given you to say to her.
I would just like to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this brave woman, and I thank you that you are the healer and you've come to her as healer and poured healing over her. And I thank you that you will continue the work that you have begun. And I ask you specifically, I ask you boldly to bring beauty out of the ashes of their sexual intimacy, to bring beauty into their intimacy. And Lord, I just thank you that you want to do this. And so I praise you and I thank you. And I just ask you to wrap your arms around this precious woman and let her know your presence and let her know your love for her. We just praise you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to say to this woman that, Susie, please send her Surprised by the Healer, and would you get her address so Julie and I can send her Passion Pursuit, which I think would be an encouragement to her as she pursues the healing in her intimate relationship with her husband.
We will definitely do that. So you get a copy of her book, and you'll get that Passionate Pursuit as well. But I want to also tell you and just remind you, maybe you already know this, but you are not damaged goods. And I think as you read Surprised by the Healer and you hear these stories of unbelievable healing, unbelievable stories, it'll help your story become believable, your healing become believable. But I just applaud you, we all do, for calling in, because I think somebody's listening today who's still in the shadows and doesn't dare. And you went first, and I just applaud you and thank you for your call today. God bless you, honey.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're going to love this book. I can't wait to get it in your hands. And Grace will get your address, and Julie and Linda will get that address to you as well, so you can send her the other study. I think she'll benefit greatly with that. Well, in Marianne's story, and you're talking about this pastor's wife, that was so interesting. She said, I mistakenly believed that my salvation and healing were synonymous. In other words, that as soon as I was saved, I would be immediately healed. When we come back, we're going to talk about, while salvation is instant, you trust Christ, your eternity is secured, the Spirit of God is in you, healing most often, most of the time, is just plain a process. Just as this dear caller just said, that she's had a measure of healing, but there's another layer to go. We can get discouraged in that process, but we're not who we once were, and we're not who we're going to be. So don't give up hope, right? Don't give up hope. Here's the number, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. You can call anonymously if you're more comfortable. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo in a moment. Give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. That's so true about Jesus. In fact, he says, the thief, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I come that you have life and life abundantly. How does that enemy steal in marriages and from women? Well, you know what? He steals from, 1 in 3. I don't know if the stat is still correct. I'll ask Julie and Linda about that in a minute. But 1 in three women are sexually abused and have some kind of sexual trauma in their past and their life. Then there are wives who are married to husbands who are addicted to pornography. Then there are those who maybe were raised in a super strong Christian home but heard constantly sex is bad. Well, that is, it's bad till you get married. But either way, Julie predicts that about 90% of couples do not enjoy the sexual intimacy that God granted them, gifted them, willed for them. Imagine that. And then as a result, we drink from broken cisterns that cannot satisfy. And you can imagine the ripple effect of all the places we go when God says, have it here, with your spouse, with me, let's walk in intimacy and enjoy each other. That's why we're talking about this today, talking to Linda Dillo, Dr. Julie Slattery. They've got a ministry that is all about sexual healing. The title of their new book is Surprised by the Healer, Embracing Hope for Your Broken Story. And there's one amazing story in this book after the other. We touched on Marianne's story, Julie. And this is a pastor's wife who had this promiscuous past and just could not open up to her husband. It sounded like he was pretty patient with her as she shut him down over and over again till God started to just break through with her. But she said, I mistakenly believed that my salvation and healing were synonymous, but they were not. Talk about that. Make that distinction between the instantaneousness of salvation, but the usual process of healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's true in a lot of our lives. And sometimes God, in his grace, works a miracle in our hearts when we come to salvation, that maybe a wound in our heart or a besetting sin just is gone. For example, maybe the desire to look at pornography is just gone, or the guilt that you've felt like you've been carrying around is just gone. But for most of us, the sanctification process of walking with Jesus and wanting to be more like him, wanting to be a disciple of Jesus, comes with this constant surrendering to him. And sometimes that's surrendering our desires and our will, but it's also at times surrendering our wounds. And, you know, as the Holy Spirit makes us more aware of the ways that we're hiding and the ways that we still live in fear, and sometimes that, again, is a process. We become aware of things that maybe we didn't even know needed to be healed 5 years ago. You know, God would ask you, surrender that to me. You know, bring that before the cross. Ask me for healing. Be willing to take steps of faith. And I think every Christian who has lived a Christian life for an extended period of time can reflect on times where that relationship with the Lord goes deeper as he asks you to surrender, again, a new wound or something that you've been carrying for a while.
Well, that's so good, Julie. Thank you for that. Linda, you wrote in the book, many women who are sexually active don't know how to be sexually intimate. They're so not the same thing. Maybe make the distinction, if you would. Maybe that would seem obvious to some, but not so to others.
Susie, I think a lot of women, single women who perhaps are Christians and know they shouldn't be in a relationship, but married women too, go through the motions of being sexual. But they are sexually active, but they're not sexually intimate. And there's a huge difference. And the Lord wants there to be intimacy. It's not just about a physical connection. The Lord wants there to be a physical, emotional, and spiritual connection.
You guys can contrast the enemy's lie and God's truth. And Julie, I'm just going to read through these and would love for you to just speak to them. The enemy's lie, sex is all about performance. God's truth, sex is about intimate presence. That might be new information for somebody. Unpack that if you would a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the enemy's lie is that, you know, sex is this event and that you evaluate each other based on how you're pleasing each other, performing. But the ultimate goal of God's design for sexuality is that you not only share a space physically, as Linda was saying, but that there's something very spiritual in the bonding that happens with sexuality, and that the greatest joy is not even in the physical pleasure always, but in the sense of being known so deeply and being in a relationship that could be so trusting.
Okay, here's the next one. Sex, the lie, the sex is a replacement for intimacy. The truth, sex is an expression of deep intimacy.
I think we see this a lot in our culture, Susie. I think the average person, if we're honest, would say we really struggle with loneliness. We struggle with feelings of isolation. Even in marriage, if you're married, you can go through seasons where you feel very lonely. And Susie, I think, even wrote a book on that, being alone in your marriage. And the world would tell you that you can fix that loneliness by sharing your body, that you can find someone to hook up with, or maybe it's even within your marriage that you're trying to bridge that gap physically. But sex was designed to be a celebration and a remembrance and an exclamation point on the deeper intimacy that we're longing for in marriage relationship. And to try to replace that with a physical act is going to, at the end of the day, just leave you even more lonely.
Here's one I think that probably many, many Christians believe. You say, the enemy's lie is my body's an object to be used by my husband, when in truth, God's truth is, my husband's desire for me is an invitation to be known and loved.
Yeah, I'll jump on that one again real quick, too, because I think I probably went through maybe the first 10 years of my marriage with that feeling. And it wasn't because of anything that my husband was doing, but I think even growing up in the church, you can start to believe that God created sex just for men, and a dutiful wife gives her body to her man, and you can start to feel like an object, like, do I really even matter here? Is this even important that I'm experiencing this? And so that's, I think that's a lie a lot of us believe, and we have got to get to the place where we realize that God has designed the gift of sexuality for men and women. The expression of that gift and the experience of it can be different based on our relationship and our gender, but even your husband's sexual drive is a very tangible way that he's drawn to you, rather than it just being something that you dutifully have to be obligated to participate in.
Linda, I'll direct this one to you. The enemy's lie, my sexuality is completely separate from my devotion to God. That's also a very, it kind of overlaps with the one that Julie just talked about. God's truth, God cares about my sexuality, my healing, and my sexual intimacy within my marriage.
Oh, I get so angry with the enemy and his lies, Susie, because he does. He throws that dart at women. And we look in God's Word, and not only is our sexuality connected to our spirituality, but in Ephesians 5, we read that God says that the physical intimacy in marriage is a picture, it's a portrait of the kind of intimacy God wants to have, spiritual intimacy with us, and he wants it to be a deep bonding. And it's as if he says, look at sexual intimacy and how it's the closest intimacy on earth, and then lift your eyes and see that I want to be close to you spiritually. And so, really, they're to point to each other.
Thank you for that. Julie, let's talk about Lorraine's story. That's one I couldn't peel myself away from, and I thought it was interesting, if I remember her story right, where she almost had a deal with God, you know, that I follow the rules, and you give me a very appealing Christian life. I think they were well-to-do and presented very well, Christian family, until her world kind of imploded because her husband's eye for a younger woman. Is that the right story? Am I getting that one right?
Yeah, her name is actually Rita.
So sorry. Yes,
you're describing the story exactly right.
And, just got the name wrong.
And you know, I think there are so many men and women that can relate to this, because sometimes we grow up with the idea that God's blessings should come in a certain way, and if we've played by the rules and we've honored Him, that He has the obligation to make sure that our life is pain-free. And Rita was certainly not perfect, but was a follower of Christ, and she didn't realize that her husband had a hidden issue with pornography, and their marriage was quite distant over time. And he fell in love with a woman 15 years younger than her. Rita was right about in her early 40s, and so the devastation of that, her husband was unrepentant, totally left Rita, went and married immediately right after the divorce, this younger woman. And so Rita was dealing with her life falling apart, with getting her children ready for her husband's wedding, and just wondering, where are you, God? And even in the midst of that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. So she went through a mastectomy and chemotherapy and radiation all by herself. And the story talks about how this really brought her to such a dark place of questioning, what do I really believe about God when it seems like he hasn't held up his end of the deal?
And she got to a point where, in fact, this quote, she says, I wanted my old life back. Slowly I began to realize that while I wanted God to alter my circumstances, he wanted to use them to transform my very soul. While he sometimes intervenes in our lives with the miracle of change, other times he uses the ongoing unchanged landscape to accomplish his purposes in our lives. This is a different kind of healing. As you say, sometimes at salvation, someone loses their taste for drugs or porn or whatever. And here is this upstanding Christian woman who's on the receiving end of what is just unjust, where she's like all the hard work, this younger woman is inherited, her furniture, her children, and she then gets diagnosed with breast cancer. But somehow in that place, she found a deeper truth about God, Julie, that made her really a force to reckon with, spiritually speaking.
Absolutely. And, you know, Susie, I think so many of us, when we get to that place, we don't persevere in pressing into the Lord. We turn our backs to him and just say, if this is the kind of God I serve, then I don't know if I want to serve him anymore. And Rita was able in those very dark places to begin to say, you know, God, I'm so desperate. I just need your truth here. And what God began to do in Rita's heart over the course of 7 years was a journey of forgiveness, forgiving her ex-husband, and also the most difficult thing was forgiving his new wife. And his new wife and her ex-husband had come to a deeper understanding and relationship with God, and they wanted to reconcile with Rita, and slowly over a period of time, God began to work so in Rita's heart and in their hearts that this is many years later, the three of them are actually very good friends and minister together with couples that are going through divorce recovery. So the miracle in Rita's life, the way the healer showed up, was so unexpected by her and by people reading the story, but yet you can't help but say that kind of forgiveness and restoration of hurt can only come through the supernatural power of Jesus.
And that forgiveness, I mean, it's just so, it's unfathomable. I want so much to know that she married a really, really great guy. I don't know that yet, but it's like, oh my goodness, but that she would humble herself and that she would even, that God just continued to nudge her further to forgive this young gal. Wow, what a story. When we come back, we're going to talk about how connected our healing is to forgiveness, no matter who it is we're forgiving, even if it means forgiving ourselves. Don't go away. More with Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo when we return. You're having a good day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Dr. Julie Slattery and Linda Dillo, co-founders of Authentic Intimacy, an amazing ministry that it really ministers sexual healing to women, which I think ministers healing to men then in return. The title of their new book is Surprised by the Healer, Embracing Hope for Your Broken Story. This book is chock full of broken stories and just surprising ways God showed up and brought healing. Linda, I always am hesitant to do this because I know in my own life when I'm doing author interviews and someone will say, you know, on page 45, tell us that story. And I don't know what they're talking about. So I want to make sure I'm respecting you. So Lorraine, I got my stories mixed up, but Lorraine's story. Do you remember, Linda, Lorraine's story?
I absolutely do.
Tell us that one.
I know the story well because I walked with Lorraine through much of it. Mm. And Lorraine is a Christian leader, and as a Christian, had an abortion, and just knew that God had forgiven her for the abortion, but was not able to forgive herself, and couldn't even describe that or say it. Until she really understood what it said in 1 Corinthians 6:18. And Susie, this verse just says very clearly why so often in sexual sin, we have trouble forgiving our sin, forgiving ourselves, because it says here that every sin that we commit is outside our body, except when we sin sexually, we are literally sinning against our own body. And I think we know that. We know there's something different. And my friend Lorraine, even though she knew God had forgiven her, even though she knew her husband had forgiven her, there was just some corner of her heart where she kept feeling like she needed to punish herself. She was a Christian. She should not have had this abortion. And God worked in an amazing way in her life and just showed her that she was letting the enemy win if she did not forgive herself, because the enemy was keeping her in bondage. And even though she was speaking to groups, even though she was teaching Bible studies, even though she and her husband had a love relationship, in their intimacy, she could never be really free until she said, God, I am going to let myself off the hook because you have totally forgiven me and you have let me off the hook. And I am going to kick the enemy out because he is the one who is keeping me in bondage and you want me to live in freedom. And Susie, really what she did, and this is what I feel so many of us as Christian women need to do, is we let God's forgiveness into the living room and into the kitchen, but we don't walk it into the bedroom.
Amen.
And we don't say, okay, God, you've forgiven me. I've let myself off the hook, and I am walking that forgiveness into the bedroom where I am going to live in freedom because Jesus died for my sexual sin, and I am free.
Amen. I got to read this because I think it's for somebody today. Lorraine, the rest of her story, she writes this. A Christian leader once said to me, forgiving yourself is not a biblical principle. You won't find it discussed in the Bible. Just a side note, my opinion, but that sounds like a Pharisee who's never needed compassion or forgiveness. But anyway, that's just my two cents.
I was there when she said it.
Oh,
yes,
my word.
Right,
oh, Lord, have mercy. Then she added, failure to forgive yourself is the pinnacle of arrogance and pride because essentially you are saying that what Christ did on the cross wasn't enough and that your sin is so great, so special that it can't be erased by his shed blood. Honestly, that just, okay. She continues, in theory, her argument holds water, but in reality, it's a leaky bucket. When women like me admit the true nature of what we have done, the horror of it, and what it cost our Savior, we grieve with a sorrow beyond words. We beat ourselves up. How could I have been so selfish and disobedient as to make Christ die for what I did? We refuse to forgive ourselves because we don't want to take lightly the reality of our sin. For a time, we feel the need to do something to prove to God how sorry we are. So we subconsciously punish ourselves in some way. In my case, I did not give myself permission to enjoy sex because sex was where my sin began. But a time comes to let yourself off the hook. A time comes to put away the black clothes of sorrow and put on a colorful robe. A time comes to dance again, to feel again, to embrace life fully and completely. I love that she even addressed that Pharisaical mindset. And Julie, I'll direct this to you because... this is such a crux, I think, and such a catalyst, a point to healing. And if we don't feel like, oh, it's just not even a biblical principle, you just don't get it. Like, we have to figure it out up in our head. Our souls will never know the healing that they so desperately need. What say you?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's actually something that Linda and I discussed quite a bit when we were writing this book because, you know, our freedom ultimately comes through the forgiveness of Christ. But as Linda mentioned, there's that reality of, you know, understanding in your head that God has forgiven me, but still holding yourself responsible to experience sin and consequences and punishment. So it's a tricky thing. You know, it's a really, you know, if I just forgive myself outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, that really holds no water. But it's the combination of knowing that I've confessed my sin before the Lord, you know, he has said there's no condemnation for you now that you are in Christ Jesus. And then giving myself the freedom to actually revel in that and to say what Jesus said is true, and therefore I will not hold myself accountable anymore for the things that have happened in the past. So, you know, it's a very powerful thing. And like I said, it can get really tricky to understand what's God's role in this and what's my role in this and how do I actually walk in the freedom that Christ has given me.
Mm, so good. So, Linda, before we pray here, would love for you to speak to that man or woman listening today who maybe they've lived with a low level of misery in the bedroom, thinking this is it. It's a broken, damaged area, not fixable. Could you speak some encouragement and hope to them today?
I would just like to say that God has you listening today because he wants to pour hope into your life, because his name is hope. He is the God of hope, and there is nothing that is beyond his hope, and he wants to redeem everything in your life and every room in your home, including the bedroom. He wants you and your husband to delight in the gift of sexual intimacy. And so that is our prayer for you today, that he would so change your heart and show you his grace and his love for you and his perspective about sexual intimacy, that you could delight in this area of your marriage.
Thanks for that, Linda. And Julie, I'm going to ask you to pray. But before we do, just when you look at what you and Linda have been doing the last few years, and you've seen and heard the stories, does it give you an appetite for the impossible? I mean, do you feel more resolved than ever that healing is possible, or do you find yourself at times more overwhelmed by the need?
Oh, wow. I think we feel both of that often, you know, both the resolve to proclaim Jesus as the healer, but also it feels like we're swimming in a sea of need, and there's so many broken people. We're all broken to some extent, but what I really have felt resolve, as you mentioned at the top of the show, my background is in clinical psychology. And as a clinical psychologist, there's always this tension of how much healing does psychology bring and how much healing does faith bring. And God does use counselors and people with expertise and knowledge and wisdom in healing, but ultimately the greatest resolve that I think I've experienced is just there's no one like the healer. To try to experience healing outside of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that he gives us, the strength that he gives us, in the way that, as we started with Isaiah 61, he really does give us an exchange life. And that's what I want to just teach until the day I die.
Indeed. And you, I just appreciate you both so much. You're so courageous. Julie, as I drive into work every day, I pray for our listeners that they would experience redemption, healing in layers and depths they never even were looking for or hoping for. Wondering if you'd pray that for our listeners, especially in this area of intimacy.
I would love to. Lord Jesus, we do just together pray for your healing power. And I pray for those listening right now who know that they have wounds that they haven't brought to you, or maybe they don't even have the faith to know that you can bring healing in such intimate areas. I pray for that husband who just feels so alone without knowing how to reach his wife, for that wife who feels so in bondage, and Lord, for that single person who's just so lonely. God, would you pour your healing on us? We are so broken, but may you be glorified through our lives. And we just thank you that you promise to be near to the brokenhearted. Be near to those listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dear Julie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been such a joy.
Always love talking with you. Linda, bless you too. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Love our times together. Title of their book, Surprised by the Healer, Embracing Hope for Your Broken Story. We've got a few more copies to get in your hands, so here's what you're going to do. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You can just put healer in the subject line. Send me your mailing address, and a few of you will get a copy of this. You'll go in a drawing. We'll draw some names. I hope you win. I really do. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. Hey, in just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this. You hear it from me most days. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.